Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody. This is Holderness After Dark.
Yeah.
Only because we're recording this in the evening, which is rare.
You've found the Holderness Family podcast. It's like 6 o'clock.
It's basically midnight.
But for us,
it's midnight.
It's incredibly late.
Anyway, I'm Kim.
And I'm sorry you're up so late. I'm Penn. It is. I've got a cocktail here that this is what I like to drink on a good Monday night. It's a Spindrift with grapefruit and a shot of
apple cider vinegar.
Raw apple cider vinegar.
Y'all.
For gut health.
It is. Okay. So we tried to during the week not.
But it is. It's like taking a shot, though.
You put a little too. I can tell from the color of it. You put too much apple cider vinegar.
Well, it'll have me. I'll drink it slow that way.
Yes. So yeah, we take a little Spindrift. We love those, or you know, flavored club soda. Mix in a little, like a tablespoon. It looks like Penn put in.
Well, I just put in the whole bottle of the little shot bottle.
Yeah, we have like a little shot bottle.
Yeah, because I want. Honestly, I did it on purpose because I actually like the taste of it.
Yeah.
And what it does is it'll slow me down. If there's just a little bit and there's like more club soda, I'll just chug it and it's over.
Okay. Anyway, so there's their Monday mocktail menu for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a fun episode because we have combed through your questions and we have some answers.
Yes, and I think a part of the combing process was a bit of an underlying theme.
Yes.
Right? Which that theme is walking in each other's shoes.
Which would be hard because you are a size 13.
It would be easier for you to walk in my shoes than for me to walk in yours.
Yeah.
That would just hurt. There was a bit that we did a long time ago where you wanted me to, every Mother's Day, you wanted me to know what it felt like to be a mom.
Yeah.
And it started with you simulating labor with this like electro machine that was crazy. Then you had me wear a bra. You had me wear a pregnancy kit that like added 40 pounds. And then you had me wear high heels. I'm going to be honest with you. The high heels may have been the hardest one. even though the most painful one was the fake labor one.
Right.
High heels are tough.
It's so funny. My feet don't accept them anymore.
Oh, you're done.
I'll wear a wedge or an espadrille, but I don't wear a stiletto anymore. In fact, our friend Michelle joined us for dinner recently and we went out to dinner and it'd been, you know, it's like it's still kind of new. And she wore these gorgeous heels and she lives down the street from us. She took them, but she quit. So she took them off and wore my Crocs on because they were so uncomfortable. They looked stunning. Anyway, let's get to some questions.
Do you have any questions for us? Here is where we answer them. We will try our best to get to as many questions as we can.
This first question, first of all, well done on that song. Love it. This question's from Scott and Amelia from Australia. And don't do an Australian accent. I know you're about to. We can't do it. Like, it doesn't. It's like some people when they try to do American accents and they just, it doesn't. So don't do it.
I was just going to quote the one from Dumb and Dumber.
Which was?
G'day, mate. Put another shrimp on the barbie.
That's insulting.
Well, especially because the woman was from Austria when he said that. In Dumb and Dumber. Yes. Got it.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. So it's a good question. There's some layers in here. How do you handle it when Kim is having a particularly bad day with anxiety and Penn is, quote, squirreling badly? Since hearing Penn's squirrel analogy, we now use the term squirreling as a gentle and non-argumentative way of bringing it to Scott's attention that he's gotten distracted. And he's also earned the nickname in the family of Mr. 80%, a loving reminder to the rest of the family to change how they frame tasks and expectations.
Oh, from our book.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I'm stealing that back. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You can still have it, but I'm going to use squirreling.
Yeah.
Because for me, I've had to tell, like, I'll tell you, I'll say, honey, I'm my executive functioning is redlining, and that's too long. I just like, I'm squirreling.
Yes. So the initial question is, how do you handle it when Kim is having a particularly bad day with anxiety?
Okay. I'm trying to go through occasions where that's happened. I know that for me, you need someone usual. First of all, I can tell that it's happening because you literally start vibrating. Mm-hmm. There's a tension that you can almost see it happening, and it's often accompanied by quiet verbally. And sometimes you look scared, even though you know that it's coming. And the first thing that I try to do is keep my voice calm and slow and not sound like crazy ADHD Pen when it's happened, and not saying, are you having a panic attack? What's going on? More like, what can I do for you? And I try to stay as close to you as possible, but, and this is clutch, not too close. I don't know that you necessarily need a hug, big, tight hug, unless you ask for
unless
one.
Unless I ask for it. In fact, yes. Like being touched can be like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's so funny. Like, I want you close, but I want you to touch me unless I ask for it. It is, it's a lot being married to this one.
Well, but I figured this out through trial and error, and you haven't been like, get away from me. What are you doing hugging me? You're a very polite panic attack person.
I think this is anxiety.
A very polite anxiety person. But we have had, it has made its way into a panic attack before. Mm-hmm. In that situation.
I would say, yeah, Penn is really understanding, and I have had friends who have had, you know, dealt with anxiety and have had partners who are not as understanding. And that's really tough.
Yeah.
Because it's a real actual thing. And there are days when I'm capable of a little less, or I just need some help, and or the work I'm going to do is just not going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I've surrounded myself with people and this team we work with, and we're all just like super aware of every, you know, I feel like we would show the same grace to anybody. But yeah. I think just being 100% understanding, and he knows I am the first to call it out. I am very self-aware, and I never take advantage of it. I never say,
no.
Oh, I'm having a high anxiety day and I just need to stay in bed all day. I've done it,
yeah.
But I've not done it when it's not necessary.
Yeah. And I guess the other piece of advice I give to Scott is know these two things. Number one, it's not about you. She's mm-hmm. not upset with you. Mm-mm. She's just, you haven't done anything wrong. There is nothing really that you can do to alleviate the actual physical thing that is coming. It is a runaway train that will continue coming. So what you can do is be close to her. So that's the number one thing I would say. And the number two thing I would say is that putting yourself in her shoes when it's happening and trying to imagine what she's going through, and asking her questions about it afterwards when it's passed is not, I think that might be something that you're wife or significant other would want you to do mm-hmm. once it's all over. I wouldn't ask about it while it's going on.
Yeah, I actually get very, so we'll move on here soon because I actually get very triggered even talking about it.
I know.
And Penn knows that, so.
You agree it's easier to talk about and it's okay to talk about afterwards though? Or are you saying don't talk about it at all? Yeah, that's what I mean.
But
yeah.
Like, I don't need details. Like, there was one time when it was a particularly really rough time for our extent, like my grandmother was dying and there mm-hmm. was like a lot of stuff also going on. There's a lot of things and you were trying to be so kind. You're like, babe, I don't know how you're doing this. You have this, you have this, you have this. And I was like, stop listing them. I was like, stop talking, stop listing. Because like, I just, to hear about it.
Yeah, that was during, that was a mistake.
Right, but you were trying so hard to be kind. So now we know that like, yeah, but that may also be just me. May help people afterwards to talk, to really get in detail about what it was.
Well, sometimes you talk about it.
I do.
And then when it happens, I feel the need to ask questions because I want to learn as much about it as possible.
Right. And it I know, but everybody's brand is sort of different. Like, I'll get super anxious over something. I can tackle really big things in my life. And when I did my month of vlogging, which was so much fun. I talked about like how I'm really good with big things, but the tiny things will send me over the edge. Like, I can hold the hand of my grandmother who's dying and be so calm, and I can do that. But yet you ask me to bring snacks to a classroom of 12-year-olds and I'm going to freak out. Like, I'll do it.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
But I'll be really nervous about it. Like, what are the 12-year-olds going to say? But I'm, like, nervous. Like, ooh, are the parents going to judge me because I brought graham crackers? Like, what's the sugar? Like, I will get in my head about stuff like that, which is so silly. But I will spin on that.
It does seem like there on many occasions, and this isn't just you but also me, when I have like heavy duty executive functioning overloads, it is surrounding some sort of social or competitive event with our children. Something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's probably just wanting to perform admirably as a parent that adds that extra amount of pressure, rather than just letting them do their thing and being a free range parent, which we can't do yet, but we're trying to be better at it.
We're doing good on that.
Well, thank you for helping guide me through that answer. So what about the second part of that question?
When Ken is squirreling?
When I'm squirreling.
So same. I think it works out because we are both, I think the term is like neurodiverse. So I think because he shows me such grace when I'm, you know, I try my best to be self-aware and say, hey, this is just a high anxiety day. And I remember one time I was in the middle of Whole Foods and we're like, divide and conquer. We have this list. It was like a midweek dash in. And I think your dad was sick or something. And we're by the Whole Foods by his place. And I texted you. I was like, I was supposed to pick out like the marinara. And I was like, I'm having a panic attack and I need to go to the car. And it hit me out of, You could peel back the layers and find out why it was happening. But anyway, so Penn is really self-aware and he usually says like, he's like, my executive functions are broken today. So just help me be on the lookout.
But guess what I'm going to say from now on?
Squirreling.
I'm squirreling.
You're squirreling.
It's easier.
Yeah, you're squirreling. And because of that, so I did walk in last week.
I was going to tell this story, but
you can tell it.
Well, I was going to compliment you because it was the same day that I had brought down a list to you. And when I bring down a list, you know I'm squirreling.
Because he had a lot of things to do.
Yeah, and they have a little box next to it. And it's my way of saying, this is what I've got to do. I can do it, but I want you to see how much I have to do. And that explains why I am where I am. And then at some point I had to leave to go somewhere.
No, you had to bring, you were making PC breakfast. To bring him to school.
But then I had to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I left to take him to school.
Yeah.
And you called me and your exact words were, hey, I know that you're having a tough executive functioning today. So I'm just calling to give you a friendly reminder that the stove is on high. The gas stove is on high, which is something that I used as an excuse to get my parents out of their home when they had Alzheimer's.
Right.
And I did that as a 47-year-old.
Yeah.
So I was, number one, embarrassed. And number two, mad at myself for doing it. But number three, like, grateful that you gave me grace in that situation.
Yeah.
Because you really did. You didn't call me. You were very calm when you called me. I think did you make it a point not to sound, I told you so-y?
100%.
Because that was very nice of you.
Because, well, I have to say, I think it works out that we are both have this stuff we carry. Because if you didn't show me such grace on days where I'm like, I need help, I'm like waving the white flag, then it would be tough for me to understand why you need the grace. So, and you, and same, you never use it as an excuse. You never say, well, I have ADHD, so I'm going to leave the stove on. You, I'm like,
you, no, you, I think would, my response was, I'm thank you so much. I'll try to do better.
Yeah. No, you're like, I'm so sorry. And I'll, yeah, I'm so sorry. Thank you very much. Like, you were very kind about it. So yeah, it, you just have to show. And, but I do love the gentle nudges of like, hey babe, I see you're squirreling. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have the conversation beforehand that it's like, it's just, it's said with love. What can I do to help you? I see you're leaving the burner on. So that means that we have a lot going on. What can I take off your plate? Or what can we talk about? And I think that would be a good start.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. And thank you for reaching out to us.
Okay.
From Australia.
So Bill, this question is from Bill. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in marital couples therapy. Especially in cases where one or both partners have a trauma background. Huh. Anyway, his question is, how do you imagine what goes on in your partner's brains? Or what do you imagine it looks like in their brains?
Oh, I know how you're going to answer this. You've always had the same answer to me.
When, and I've wanted to do a skit about this, but I don't know how to tell the story, that if I could just spend one day in my husband's brains, it would look like a cartoon, like an animated Wonderland. Like everything would be very vibrant and everybody would have these cartoon smiles and it would just be very, it would be like Candyland. Yeah. That's what I kind of picture it's happening.
Is this
brain.
Like that 30 Rock episode when they saw what was going on in Kenneth's head and it was just Muppets everywhere singing?
Oh my gosh, I felt like I've seen every 30 Rock episode 12 times, but I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's a good one, yeah.
Yes. But that's kind of, it's just like fields of golden retrievers and like a Candyland.
Well, thank you. I
yeah, just open fields of just like golden retrievers.
Yeah.
Just bounding.
People are just dog. People are golden retrievers.
Just everybody is. The reason why you're so happy to see everybody is because everybody looks like a golden retriever puppy. And that's why you're so happy to see people.
Oh my gosh. I do love seeing people and I do love golden retriever puppies.
Because we'll go anywhere and he's genuinely, and I do too. I love people too. I do. But you are genuinely happy to see everybody. And yeah, that's what it is.
I think of you. So have you seen The Terminator?
It's been years.
Bear with me on this because it's going to end up being a compliment.
Okay.
But so the Terminator, they show his point of view and it's like infrared. Okay. And there's like heat signatures of like all the people that he's looking at. But then also like a little bit of information shows up on top of them. Like,
okay.
Sarah Connor, Target. You know, yeah. Terminate or whatever. Yeah. Like it does that whole thing. So the first part of it is, I do believe that you have some skill that you inherited from your granddad that he admitted having, which is probably hard for like a granddad in Bradenton to tell people about. But you believed him that he could see auras around people.
Yes.
So I do believe because you're such an empath that you have the ability to take temperature in some way that it probably doesn't look like the Terminator, but in some way, like you have some of your grandfather's ability because you have been, and I've seen this even very recently with just like friends of my daughters, like known that they needed something specific at that moment because you're able to see what's going on. And so I think that the aura would be, that would sort of be what their mood is, but then there would also be some information on the top.
Yeah.
Of like, especially if it's something, someone who had done you wrong before, that information is up there because
I have trouble, you guys.
Yep. Or if it's someone who did something right, like their dossier comes up when you see them along with their aura. So like the Terminator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Terminator. Thank you. I agree. Honestly, you're not too far off base.
You're the Terminator.
I do also feel if I use my powers for good, but if I feel a deep connection with somebody, it's pretty instant.
Yep.
And I will know. And that's why if I go to a party or I go whatever, I will sit and talk to one person for 3 hours because I can like go deep. And there are other people who are very, very lovely that maybe I'm not feeling, like rarely do I feel like a vibration of like danger, danger. Like I don't feel those sort of vibrations around people, but I do feel people's energy in a non woo woo way. And so if somebody's hurting, if somebody's struggling, like it's hard. Like
I've seen it in action.
Yeah.
I've seen you like read. I don't know if you can read like an entire room, but you can certainly read a person who's standing right in front of you.
Yeah.
And which is so surprising because you suck at poker.
Yeah.
Like you should be able to tell if they're
no, because here's the problem.
Because you refuse to fold.
Yes, I'm also not a quitter.
Right.
So even if I have the worst hand,
you have to quit.
I can't quit. Yeah. So it's shadowed by the fact that I'm a terrible gambler because I get offended
when someone bets you that they have a better hand.
Yes, I'm like deeply offensive that you think that you could beat me. I'm very competitive. Just like it's the worst. Like if I lived in Vegas. I'd be bankrupt because I definitely could have a gambling problem because I am so competitive, but yeah. I can't control that.
No, you can't.
Yeah. So
you sure can't. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Thank Hold you, on. Bill.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, Ooh. It's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like.
There is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body Deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E.
Here's a question from Aubrey. How do you support each other in the moments where you don't agree or don't understand what the other person is going through?
When you don't understand what the other person is going through.
I think we could settle on moments where we don't agree.
Okay, that one's easier. Mm-hmm. There's an entire chapter on this in our books. It's words followed by questions, right? Like you have to investigate a little bit and not in a douche nozzly way, but in a tell me more. Mm-hmm. And also if you don't agree in a saying that you hear the person, saying that you hear and respect their opinion, even though you disagree with it, and asking to hear more about why they feel that way.
We got into a big old fight a couple weeks ago.
Which one are we talking about?
When we were driving back from Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a big fight.
Big fight. And I was like, I hear you, but Yeah.
Yeah, you weaponized I Hear You, which you're not supposed to do.
No, like, I didn't weaponize it. But no, I heard you, but I disagreed with you.
But when you said I hear you, it wasn't, that was like filler.
It was filler words.
Yeah.
It was like, I know these are the words I'm supposed to say right now, so I'm going to say them.
Right.
But I think we don't get in fights like that often.
No, but everybody does.
Yeah. It's, but no, it was like, it was loud. We were in a car and
there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Couldn't pull the ripcord. It's hard to drive through those.
Yeah.
Because I was driving without trying to revisit that fight, which I really don't want to do because it was not fun. We ended up getting through it and supporting each other by taking just like a brief second to try to understand the other person's point of view. And you do that by asking, by repeating what they said, by giving it some credence and then asking to hear more about it, even if you think it's completely insane. Because the odds are when you're getting in a fight, you both believe very strongly that the other person is insane at that moment.
And at that moment. Wrong. Yeah, at that moment. But I have to say what really helped was like, realizing the reason. So sometimes, and we both had reasons for feeling the way we did, and they were very, very valid.
Sure.
And but that wasn't obvious at first.
Right. And back to the magic words, you say I feel, and then you say because.
Yes.
You say what you want, and you say because.
Yeah.
You've got to give the reasoning behind why you do that. And you've got to let the person finish that sentence and you got to make sure you hear what the person says.
But honestly, like after a big fight like that, it took some time to, I mean, the beauty was we were in the car for 2.5 hours. So it was about a 30-minute fight. And then we had 2 hours or an hour and a half by the time to kind of like sit with it. And by the time we pulled in our driveway, it was, I'm not going to say it was behind us because we definitely both had some action items, but it was kind of good that we were trapped in a space. But also we came out with a better understanding, and that's the goal of a fight, right? You come out with a better understanding of your person, and we both came out with better understandings and appreciation of like what the other person does.
Yeah.
Is that what you...
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
are we about to have the fight again? Oh, no.
No, it took me a second, but I would like, I definitely felt trapped because it just got so loud in there.
Mm-hmm. I was loud.
And I, at that time, I didn't think that I deserved it because I was trying to explain my feelings individually and they just were getting thrown back in my face. But then by the time we got to right around, say, Mebbin, things had calmed down and it sounded like we could hear each other a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Did that answer the question, Aubrey? I think that if you go into a disagreement, you genuinely have to want to understand the person better. And I think sometimes we go in with guns blazing and we're trying to be like have our own voice heard as opposed to trying to understand that other person. And it's really freaking hard. It's really hard to fight well and to recover from a fight. So yeah, Aubrey, good luck with that. So we actually got this great message through Instagram and I had, you know, as a listener catching up on the podcast and we had talked because we try not to, we work together every day. So asking each other, how was your day? It kind of falls on deaf ears because I know how your day was. But she sent a, you know, she goes on walks with her husband and that she sent the list of questions. They kind of do a weekly check-in. And one of the questions they ask each other is, what do I do that makes you feel most safe and loved? So what do I do?
Can I think about that while you answer it?
Because
mm-hmm. You've had this question for a little bit longer than me. I'm curious, like, what is it? Most safe and loved. And I guess those are probably the same thing, right?
I think to feel loved is to feel safe.
Right.
Penholderness. I think that you always make me feel safe and loved because you really do. When I'm around in like a social setting, you are always like looking for me like making sure I'm like, you'll bring me a drink. You'll bring me, like, you're always checking in. I think not because I need to be taken care of, but because you're genuinely interested in me, you know, and that makes me feel safe.
Well, thank you. I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to do that. Mm. I think I just naturally like having you around and want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
What makes me feel safe and loved, God, I'm having a tough time with this because I think you do a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you definitely are okay with all of the things about me that I feel the most insecure about. You know, everyone has things that they openly are insecure about. And then everyone has like a list of like three things that they don't tell anybody that they are just super insecure about or aren't happy about.
Mm-hmm.
And you've proven to me very early on in our relationship that those are things that you're okay with. And I'm trying to think if I even want to talk about any of these things that I feel insecure about, but I don't know if you just, maybe it's the thing we were talking about before where you can tell by people's vibrations. Maybe you can tell what everyone's insecure about.
Mm-hmm. And then I like to manipulate it. I'm kidding.
I hope that's not what you're doing.
No.
But I think I said that in our wedding vows. I think I said that you love every part of me. I think even the stuff that I'm like ashamed of or I'm not really happy about. That makes me feel loved. And it also makes me feel safe. The things that you're insecure about make you feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to tell anybody what I'm insecure about. It's just between me and Kim, but she's okay with it.
I don't honestly.
I'm trying, like, I know a couple of them. Okay, are you ready for this? I hate myself naked. I don't like the way that I don't know what it is. Everybody else seems to be okay with what I look like naked. I hate it.
I don't, am super into it. I remember you like very early on. You're like, I basically am. I'm not like a guy that's going to walk around naked.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know they're like, we go to like gyms and like everyone's like, hey, Ben. And they're just like dongs everywhere. I'm like, what are you doing at a spa? Like,
you're good. You're great.
That's probably because I have to work really hard on it because I hate it. Like I think I have like a body image issue.
Uh-huh. You have a little bit of one. Just turned 40 and you have like a six pack.
Yeah. I'm telling you, every time I walk by the mirror, I'm like, no, not good.
You know, men can have body image issues.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so you make me feel better about that. So thank you.
I think you're a smoke show. I grab your butt every time I see you.
You've got a new thing where you're actually sticking your finger like into my butthole instead of grabbing my butt.
Like, which he's wearing clothes, but I'm like, boop.
Yeah. Like, that's not, what are you doing?
No, I think it's funny. I'll stop doing that.
Right. So you've always been, I guess, reassuring on that.
You're a smoke show.
Yeah. I know. Well, thank you. But it just, I think
Ben's
I
never nude.
Yeah. So if you watch Arrested Development, there's a character named Tobias Funke who always wears cutoff jean shorts underneath something, and it's called cut-off jean shorts. It's called being a never nude. I do shower naked. It takes a lot. And then like when, you know, there are times when we're obviously naked together, so that, you know, that's
oh my gosh, now it's awkward.
Right. What are the other things?
Well, we don't need to.
Yeah, let's just move on. Okay. You guys got the big one.
Krista, as an Enneagram 1, does Kim find herself reacting defensively to constructive criticism? This is something I've noticed about myself and I'm trying to work on. I was wondering if she also does this and if she has any advice. So, absolutely. And so what I notice when somebody has a criticism for me, I think I loved working in news, first of all, because things turned around so fast that there wasn't time for a lot of criticism. And if it was, it was like, well, I did the best I could. Like there was a reason for it. But in what we do now, it still turns pretty fast, but there'll be some very honest feedback. For years, my first instinct was to just get defensive, to make an excuse of like, well, I mean, it has to be that way. Now I still get a twinge of discomfort, but I know that that's me. It's a me problem. And I sit there And I literally picture my heart, because my heart gets very, it feels like very clenched, like opening up into like, I'm accepting this. Somebody's telling this because they love me. You know, even like the hard stuff to hear.
What's the hard stuff to hear?
You know, feedback in, you know, family relationships of, you know, I didn't appreciate when you did this. You know, like work feedback is pretty easy. At this point, it's very easy to take. And I don't really have an ego about it. But in family, or if I do something wrong, if I say something that is hurts your feelings, you know, I think I would, if you're like, I can't believe you said that, I'd be like, oh my God, you're right. Like, I cannot believe I said that. But my instinct is to feel very defensive. So... yeah, but that's I know, and I have to say, part of the Enneagram work we did, learning that about myself was key, because now I know it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this isn't real. This isn't a real reaction.
Including you getting defensive when you were told that that was your Enneagram type.
I was pissed. I got really defensive there. So I literally have to like picture my heart opening and going like, and I just have to sit there. And I have to, I have to sit there and think of it from their point of view and be like, you're right. That is, you know, I should not have said that, or whatever it is that I've done wrong.
I love the imagery of your heart opening up, because that really is the best way to accept feedback, right?
Because people, if they did not care about you, they would not bother telling you. And right?
The internet would disagree with you.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. The internet criticism doesn't even get my blood pressure up. That doesn't matter to me. But
most people, like, if people give you face-to-face feedback, they absolutely care about you.
It was probably pretty hard for them to tell you.
Exactly.
And
you almost want to say like,
I took
a lot of courage to say that, probably.
Had a couple, I mean, not a ton of conversations, but a couple conversations where a family member has said like, you know, this situation I don't think was handled the best. And I like, thank you for telling me this, and thank you for trusting me. And I know that must have been really hard. And you're right. So it's like a hard thing to hear about yourself. But
what was the question?
As an Enneagram one, do I find myself reacting defensively to constructive criticism?
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay. So that was just for you. I got it. I was just making sure that I wasn't going
to. How do you react to criticism?
Usually okay, but like sometimes bad. Sometimes bad. I've had to evolve in that sense, especially when it comes, honestly, for work. I'm probably an Enneagram one at work. I'm more of a perfectionist in that sense than I am in the rest of my life. I know I'm not a great, you know, I take criticism better than most on my tennis team, because I know I'm not perfect and I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm just trying to have an awesome time. I think I take criticism pretty well from you when it comes to our relationship for the most part. But the thing that I needed the most help on, and I'll admit that I probably still need more help on, is work, because I think I'm a perfectionist at work. It may not come across that way when you see a finished product, but that can be tough on people that I work with, including my wife. So I would say I could do better in that front, and I am actively trying to. And I can be saying in my mind that I'm actively trying to do better, and I can still get defensive.
Yeah. But you have to like sit, and it gets real, my heart kind of like gets real tense.
Well, I love that imagery, because I'm a strong believer in imagery, like really having a positive effect on your life around you. And just imagining my heart opening up, I'm going to try that next time.
Oh, I'm glad I could help you, Penn. So Mary from Minnesota, what's your next adventure? You've already won the amazing race. So now what's next on the docket?
Well, Mary, there's the real life that we've come back to, and the amazing race is over. And we are actively looking for something that's that hard and that challenging. And we've even shared this with you on the podcast, that it for everyone. And we've even talked to some of the other people on the race with us. There's that kind of chasm after a challenge like that you spend years preparing for, and then months being in the thick of. And it made a lot of us realize, not just Kim and I, but this whole group of people, that having something hard to shoot for can be a good, strong force in your life. I would like to climb Mount Kilimanjaro or something next, but I don't know. Like, what do you want to do?
So we talked about this even as like a team. Like, it was Leanne and Sam and Anne-Marie. We kind of I said, like, I am craving something big. I'm craving. There was a letdown after we did the Raleigh half Ironman. God, it was almost 10 years ago, by the way.
Yeah.
And people talked about, like, oh, you'll have like the post-race blues
because it's over.
Because it's over.
Yeah.
And I did. I enjoyed training for the Amazing Race. So I don't know. Our current stage in life, we're in the kind
parenting
of,
sports.
Yeah,
parenting.
It's like air traffic control stage of life, but I also don't want to lose sight that I am my own person and that these kids, I love them madly and deeply, are going to leave us. So we need to be fixed on our own goal. I want to do the Amazing Race again, but not for television. Like, I want to go to beautiful cities.
Okay.
And do, so here's what I want to do. What I would love to do is go to these places, do the thing, like do challenges, like big physical challenges, and then something we couldn't do on the Amazing Race, go have a glass of wine in the right. city and go sightsee.
Well, that's not as hard though.
I do want to travel. Like, I think when.
So you want to travel?
I want to travel.
Yeah. That's not a challenge. Love you. We should travel. You and I should travel.
No, but I also.
But you need a challenge.
I know, but I want to do something extreme. Like when we go to Spain, I want to do, like, I want to.
Okay.
I want to, like. So... Like, would you go on like a 100-mile hike or something right. over a series of days?
We could do that. There are actually all these things that are going on around us that I have said, boy, I'd love to do that. And then it's been followed by, well, I don't know when I'm going to have the time. Okay, we got to make the time for this.
Like, what do you want to do?
Well, I want to learn how to kite surf.
Yes, we're going to kite surf.
So there, the coast of North Carolina has all of these places that you can easily get to that have kite surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks awesome. We saw some people doing it when we were on vacation. And they're probably skipping over the top of like sharks' dorsal fins, but they look unbelievable. They're harnessing the power of the wind.
The wind.
Right? And we could do it forever. And never use a single drop of gasoline in the ocean. So that's the other thing I love about it.
I mean, I'm not trying to go too far offshore, though. But I would like to kite
surf. No one go. You can't. At least the people we've seen, they're kite surfing, I think.
Yeah.
Just up and down the shore.
I would love to do that with you because, first of all, I think you'd be really good at it. I think I'd be okay at it. And we're starting it together.
Right.
Whereas I feel like you play tennis now and you're already so good. Like, I can't catch up with that.
You can catch up with me in pickleball.
I can catch up with you in pickleball. Are you offended that I said that I could catch up with you in pickleball?
No, I was. My heart is open. My heart is open. I think you could. I'm not, like, I love paddle sports. There's certain things that people are born to do. I was not born to play paddle sports. I just really like them. So
I may be pickleball champion. Okay, yep. Last question. How have your dreams changed since we first met?
Oh. Wow, have you thought about this? You don't always dream, right? Aren't you like an intermittent dreamer, or do you dream?
I think this is more of like not like the dreams you have at 9
a.m. Oh, okay.
This is like,
because I was going to be like, I'm still waking up
thinking about my college exam I didn't turn in.
And I'm 6 credits behind in the last semester. Literally every week I have that dream.
Why does it happen?
Oh, it's like, that's a textbook. Like, I think it's like a regret that you didn't finish something that day. Remember we had the dream analyst and they're like, it's always about something that happened to you in the last 24 hours that those actual dreams that you have at night are related to. So it's something that I didn't get finished that day.
Okay.
Which is every day the way we are.
So my dreams, I think it's funny because I think our job has changed.
Sure.
I had dreams. I just assumed we would live in New York forever because that's when we got married and Lola was born in New York. I thought we'd live in New York forever. I thought we would have TV jobs.
Right.
And I thought that was my dream, to be some sort of New York TV host, something like that. So even moving down to Raleigh felt a little bit like the song if I can make it there, then I can make it anywhere. And I felt as if we didn't make it in New York because we had jobs, but they were barely paying. But actually, they were good jobs. And on paper, they paid great, but they just not enough for New York City. So now my dreams are so different in that I love New York, but I can't imagine raising a family there. And I know now that there's so many things I want to do and I'm going to do them, but just being in this place that's such an awesome place to raise a family and this community of people we have built is, I know that this is exactly where we're supposed to be. So in that way, if you would have told me 15 years ago that we would still be living in Raleigh, I would have told you you were lying or started crying. So I think my dreams have just become, it's beyond my wildest dreams what we get to do for a living. I feel so lucky, but I think that, I don't know. This is not a great answer, but I think they've just been a little more, I've seen real life and I like real life better.
I think it's a great, it's a good answer. Yeah. It took some turns there. So I'm wondering, I think you were trying to answer the question of whether or not you're happy instead of just saying what the dreams were that you want to do.
I have to say, so before...
Because you seem happy.
Yes. I think now my dream is just more of this.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know if that's happiness, but that's contentment. Like, yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
I would say I'm sort of similar. I wanted to be, when we first met, I wanted to be the main guy on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And then I went to Bristol.
And then what happened?
And it was cold. And my wife did not want to move there.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing that ever happened to us that we didn't. I wanted to be either a sportscaster or like the sportscaster ends up going to the Today Show. Network. Yeah. I want to network. You know, ever watch Ron Burgundy? Now I know that what I do now allows me more freedom and time with my family and a more, I think, fulfilling relationship with coworkers and with wives and with neighbors and everything than that other job would have ever provided us. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird hearing from people who have those sorts of jobs that they envy what I do. Mm-hmm. And so my dreams have changed as I've aged, as I've become 48, are a little bit more like, George Washington in Hamilton wanting to just go back to his place in Mount Vernon and have silence and peace. And I never thought I would be that way. I think I would want sort of amplified peace, but my dream is to get to the finish line and have quiet. But along the way, I would like to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we kind of meandered on that answer. But I think it's a good question to ask your spouse or your partner.
No, it is.
I think, how have your dreams changed?
Well, I mean, I guess the reason I gave you that example is my dream was never quiet and peace and quiet and slowing things down. My mm-hmm. dream was to speed things up until the end. And I dream and fantasize about like being on a farm or like being on the ocean. Mm-hmm. And having nothing to do. Yeah. And I'm sure that once I got there, I would find like 1,000 things to do. But my dreams weren't anything like that when we first met.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I have two friends who had big, fancy corporate jobs. And there's this term like the Great Resignation. And they are, about 50 years old, had worked corporate, saved their money and don't necessarily have to keep working that corporate just through the investments and just life and partners and stuff like that. And they are both working retail jobs because they want to have a job and they like pretty things and a discount when they're shopping. But just the simplicity of it is so lovely. And it's one of those things where you do your retail thing and then you go home. And there's nothing else to do after you...
No strings.
And how lovely that is. That being said, retail is really hard. And
sure.
Depending on it to feed a family, that's a totally different story. We're talking about like people who are retiring.
And not working full time and like just popping in. Yeah, I got you.
But I would say Yeah, my dreams, exactly. I think my dreams before were to have, you know, some big fancy job, and now my dream is to sit on a porch and look at the ocean. Yeah.
Well, good. I think we're aligned there.
Yeah.
We're getting old. I think is.
I do. You know what? I do think my mom told me this. She's like, travel when you're young because you're going to get like hip issues and stuff. I do feel like we need to start traveling.
Yeah. More. I mean, our kids are old enough, they can go anywhere.
No, but it's like fine. Now we're like finding the time to go with them.
We'll find the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for those questions, Kim. Thank you for aggregating them. And I thought that the theme was great. And I feel like we learned a little bit about each other. A couple of quick housekeeping things before we leave. If you are listening to this and you like games with your family, we have created a game, a family game called Family Face-Off. It is the number one new release board game on Amazon right now, even though it doesn't have a board, which is great. It's cards. It travels easy. If you listen to last week's podcast, we played it and we had a blast having some people on who played it with us. And we're super proud of the game. Actually, that was 2 weeks ago, I think, when we put that out there. But it's on sale on Amazon, and it's also, more importantly, on our website. You can just go straight to theholdernessfamily.com. It's probably the easiest way to buy it. And
if you have an email question for us, it's podcast@theholdernessfamily.com. podcast@theholdernessfamily.com. Send us a question, thoughts or concerns. If you're concerned because you think we suck, that's cool. You can do that too. But anyway, love you guys.
All right. It's completely dark. It's after dark. Officially after dark, honey. We did it.
I just went to check the Holderness Family podcast email, and somebody said, I'd love to connect with female entrepreneurs. And I have you ever considered upgrading your social media presence? You guys.
So are you going to ask people not to try to sell us stuff
just
on the...
Don't sell us stuff on there. Because I know we're trying, you guys. Yeah. Okay. Love you.
But ask us other questions.
Like, not have you...
Not can I have some of your money?
Well...
Bye.
Bye. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.